622, 1320 WILS. So Donald Trump, during an interview with Bill O'Reilly on Super Bowl Sunday, saying that he's now looking at repealing and replacing Obamacare potentially next year. So maybe a while. Paul Howard with a senior fellow and director of the Manhattan Institute's Center for Medical Progress. Paul, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, so initially it was going to be addressed as soon as he had his HHS person in place. Now, Tom Price, now it looks like it's going to be a year or so. Is that a more accurate timeline, you think?
Well, I think what's been happening is you've heard different timelines come out of Congress, particularly on the House side with Speaker Ryan and from the White House. I mean, they're not putting out the same messaging, or at least they weren't yesterday. I think White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer walked that back today and really made a differentiation between implementation and when the bill would actually be passed. And he made it sound like what President Trump had really meant was that implementation might take place in 2018, but they would get something passed sooner. And that's been what Speaker Ryan's been saying, indicating, and by the way, they've moved this back. I mean, they originally said they were going to have the reconciliation bill on the president's desk at the end of January. That obviously didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But now he's saying second quarter 2017, which would put us into, you know, June.
Okay, so is there a firm plan, as far as you can tell, to replace Obamacare?
No, not yet. I mean, you alluded to earlier, and you're right. The president had said, they're going to wait until Dr. Price was confirmed as Secretary of HHS, and there's also a CMS, a Medicare administrator, who needs to be confirmed. Those are two of the big appointments. I think once those people get stood up and get confirmed, Dr. Price, I think, is going to be confirmed within the next few days. I think you'll see better communication, better coordination between the administration and Congress.
Yeah. Do you imagine any way they may get stuck and not be able to move this forward?
Well, look, the big challenge right now for the Republicans is, there's the House Freedom Caucus, about 40 members. And anything that's conservative enough to pass the House may be too conservative to pass the Senate, with, you know, some moderate Republicans, like Susan Collins of Maine, being the swing votes, where they've only got a 3-vote majority there, 52-48, but they still have the vice president for a tiebreaker. So you don't have much wiggle room in the Senate.
Yeah. And now, how eager are Republican senators, from what you can tell, to repeal Obamacare?
Well, what the Republican senators have said is they want to see a replacement plan before they repeal anything. Mm-hmm. They want to know there's at least a plan in place, and preferably they do both simultaneously. So, and there are also a number of Republican governors who, look, honestly, who took the Medicaid expansion under the ACA and want to know what the end game is and don't want to see that expansion simply, you know, peeled back. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where the challenge is. I think getting the House and the Senate to agree is going to be the big hurdle.
Okay, so in a sense, what is the replacement going to have to be? Is going to have to cover everyone that's currently covered under Obamacare?
I think what you're going to have to do is get a comparable coverage number. But hopefully what you can do is say, look, we're close to the ACA numbers here, but more importantly, we've lowered costs, we've brought deductibles down, we've made premiums more affordable, so that in the long run, coverage will ramp up as people have access to more affordable plans. So I think as long as they're in the ballpark and they've got a ground game for lowering costs and bringing those premiums and deductibles down, they'll have a convincing replacement.
How do you do that? How do you actually bring down premiums and deductibles?
Well, there are a few different strategies. I mean, first of all, the Republicans are going to say we should allow people to pick plans that fit their needs, give states the freedom to design different, you know, essential health benefit packages. Mm-hmm. So someone could say, look, I don't need a plan that covers substance abuse. I don't need contraception. I don't need these other things. Just give me something that covers, you know, catastrophic injuries if I'm in the hospital, if I get cancer, bring the price down, allow states to offer wider age bands, which means you can charge older people, who also tend to be wealthier, more than younger people, who also tend to have less capital. And so you get those younger, healthier people in the market, and you bring premiums down that way.
Are there going to be any mandates for the system to work?
You know, that's a good question. I think what Republicans have to do, because, you know, there's obviously a lot of distaste for the individual mandate there, is look at alternatives. You know, one thing they can do is say, look, you can't, sign up for insurance right now and then drop it and still get 3 months free, which you can under the ACA. Mm-hmm. Close out the special enrollment periods. And you can even say, look, there's going to be an open enrollment once every 2 years. If you don't buy it then, you're going to wind up paying a lot of money out of pocket. They can find alternative ways to encourage people to buy coverage. coverage and keep coverage that don't necessarily involve a government mandate.
Okay. Well, one of the main issues was that young people just were not interested in signing up. Is there any way to change that, you think?
Yeah, look, I think you have to get the value proposition down. I mean, you know, you've got people who will spend $125 a month on, you know, a cell phone, but if they're not spending that much on health care, you know, telling them to pay, you know, $5,000 a year in premiums with a $5,000 deductible, that's not a good prospect for them. They're, you know, it just doesn't make business sense or pocketbook sense to them. So I think getting those costs down, getting those premiums down is a way to get those younger, healthier people in the market.
Yeah, so you're saying you think, well, the mandates will go, we just won't have them anymore?
Well, I think we're going to have different strategies. What Republicans have put out as a counterproposal has been, if you buy coverage and keep coverage, you won't be risk rated later. So if you get coverage when you're young and healthy and later on you develop a chronic health condition, insurers can't raise your rates. So that's an incentive for those young, healthy folks to get coverage when they're in good health and keep it over the long haul.
Okay. So in terms of things not happening as planned in a replacement plan and the repeal not going through, what's the likelihood of that happening, just the whole thing falling apart?
Well, you know, if I had a crystal ball, I'd be using it every day now. So, you know, it's just a good question. There are a number of Republican plans out there that are plausible, that are credible. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you know, getting, again, the House and Senate to agree on this.
Yeah. Is there any evidence that they have some ideas that kind of come together?
Well, this is what I think you need. They will come together if President Trump tells them that this is the plan and they have to come together. I think that that's what we need most now, Republicans need most now, is for the president to say, this is the plan, this is what we're going to do, everybody get behind this. Mm-hmm. Lacking that kind of aggressive leadership, you're going to see the party continue to disagree and not come to an agreement on or consensus on what the plan is. Mm-hmm. So that's really what they need most now, leadership from the White House.
Do you imagine any support from any Democrats?
Yes, we've got 10 states where senators are going to be up for re-election in states that Trump won, in November. So I think those Democrats are going to be under some political pressure. As long as there is a credible plan that covers people and brings down those costs that I mentioned, they're going to be under pressure to find a way to vote for something that's reasonable. So if Republicans can find that sweet spot, they only need to get, you know, eight Democratic votes. So maybe they can peel off some of those people. And if they do individual bills rather than one large bill like Obamacare, they might be able to pick off Democrats for individual bills that move the football in the direction they want to go. So I think those are two viable strategies.
Paul Howard, Senior Fellow and Director of the Manhattan Institute's Center for Medical Progress, right here on WILS. Thank you, Paul.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
6:30, when we come back, a man who was part of the Trump EPA transition team will tell us why and how it's time to fix the EPA. I'll ask him if it's time to get rid of the department altogether, as some have proposed. That is next.